KHUM is freeform independent radio from Humboldt County, California. Learn more at khum.com.
Happy trails to you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, once again, it is time for another edition of Happy Trails as we keep our eyes on the prize, a regional trail system all throughout Humboldt County. We seem to be inching ever closer to it. Inching is the word. I guess I have to be patient, even though that's not one of my strong suits. Joining me via telephone this morning, we've got Emily Sinkhorn, and from down in the Bay Area, we've got Steve Schwagert, Trail Development Manager of the Rails to Trails Conservancy, the Western Regional Office. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Indeed. So, Steve, there is a new report I just downloaded, and I kind of glanced at it. I haven't really had a chance to really look it over, called Community Built, where you're kind of outlining several different communities and their hands-on efforts to get trail systems put together.
Yeah, that's really what I wanted to talk about today, because I know there's some concerns up in Humboldt County about the costs and what it takes to do projects,
sure,
to get these rail trail projects built and other types of trail projects. And so we actually had two motivations for doing this report. One was that, you know, we've seen these costs escalate and to the level where, many communities are wondering, can we even do this? Because we see that maybe in one community they're spending $1.5 million per mile to build a trail. What's that going to mean for us? It could be, you know, that could be our whole budget for years and years.
Sure.
And then another question we had come up was that many public agencies are wondering, well, how can we access volunteer and, you know, how can we access our community resources to and leverage those to actually get trails built? And so, you know, we've got incredible examples from around the country back from when this rail trail movement started 25 years ago where there's communities have come together and been able to do these trails very cheaply. And so we wanted to spotlight some of those. And I just wanted to mention a couple
please,
that are kind of on the cheap end of getting things built. There's one up in New Hampshire where the state actually owns the corridor. They purchased it from the railroad, but they don't really do much else as far as managing or constructing the trail. And so there's a nonprofit group has formed, and they manage the entire construction process. And they're able to build a trail that's on a railroad grade, and it's a crushed stone trail, so it's not paved, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's a great surface for any kind of bike that doesn't have the super skinny tires. People are using equestrians. They use it for snowmobiling and cross-country skiing in the winter. And they're building it at about $12,000 per mile. And basically all that is material costs. They're buying the crushed stone, bringing it in. They've got volunteers helping them to direct the trucks, to lay it out. They've got community members from construction companies that donate their grader and their roller to come out and actually help contribute to building it. They've got property owners along the trail that clear the brush and help remove down trees and things like that. So that's kind of like the low end. I mean, if we could build these trails for $12,000 a mile, that would be incredible.
Yeah, that's a great price.
That's kind of one extreme, and we wanted to include a variety of different models in the report. So, you know, it goes from there, and then there's other models, too, where in many of the other cases, the city or the county's actually constructed the trail itself, and then the nonprofit groups have come in to provide many of the amenities like park benches, trees, landscaping along the corridor, and so there's examples of that in there as well.
Emily, you had something to say?
Yeah, it was just interesting with the New Hampshire example of as how you're saying this is one of the more low-cost ways to see this happen, and it seems like the majority of the effort was probably just of forming the Friends group in the first place, and I would love to talk with you a little bit more about how those kind of groups came together, and then also just with the difference of regulatory climate in New Hampshire versus California or in some other states certainly seems to have made that process go a little bit faster as well.
Right. Yeah, I mean, certainly there's environmental review. And the folks in New Hampshire, they are accessing different types of funds. Even for $12,000 a mile, you need to get the money from somewhere. And they've they've been successful at getting federal grants from the recreational trails mm-hmm. program. But when they do run the projects through FHWA, the Federal Highway Administration, they mention that they see the costs basically double because they need to do additional engineering, and there's additional requirements that come with that. So so in those cases, I think they had a small portion that was built with FHWA funds, and that cost double the amount.
Uh-huh. And the Recreational Trails Program is one of the, it seems like one of the few non-motorized funding sources that was left at previous levels after this latest federal transportation bill reauthorization.
Right. That's one bright spot in the new transportation bill, that they will be still funding recreational trails. I believe in California we're definitely working with the state to try and protect and dedicate more money for bike and pedestrian, because we think the population here and most of the politicians understand that we've got congested roadways, and the way out of that is not building like we've been doing, but to create new options for transportation for people. And so we're definitely working with them on that.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, how familiar are you with our situation up here in Humboldt with the corridor between Eureka and Arcata?
I've been up there and seen it just driving by, but mm-hmm. I haven't studied it in depth or worked on any of the reports.
I'm curious, with your experience with this organization, you've been with them for a long time. In dealing with, we've got, this is run, managed, if you will, by the North Coast Railroad Authority, and there have not been trains on it for at least 15 years, and I was just at their meeting that they just held up here in Humboldt County, and pretty much they said there is really absolutely no plan to restore rail service, because going through the Eel River Canyon is so cost prohibitive, the cost to restore rail between the Bay Area and here ranges between $500 million and $5 billion, and that's just a non-starter. Yet there is still a huge amount of hesitancy, even though it's being talked about, huge amount of hesitancy to rail bank that corridor and allow it to be used for a trail.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've seen this scenario before. What can we do?
Well, it's a political problem up there, I know, because there are still those with dreams of restoring that until it's completely discounted and everybody's on board with that, and the decision makers, you can't get over that process. I know there's some issues too with rail banking, because you do have to file abandonment, and NCRA was looking at whether they could formally file an abandonment given their charter to preserve railroad corridor as part of their use. But building a trail, you actually, it doesn't even have to be necessarily rail banked to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It could be an interim use, and if there were some quiet title claims that came up for adjacent property owners, I'm guessing actually that the railroad owns all of that right away.
It's definitely a mix.
Fee title.
So. It's a mix of fee title and just the easement, and that definitely is where. That's why we've definitely been bringing this up as a potential way to preserve the entire corridor.
Mm-hmm. Because with rail banking, you can still have passenger rail. You can have a trail next to the railroad line if you want to do that. But it just gives you many options, and it's really the best way to preserve a corridor that's inactive, like that one is.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing running on it. There's trees growing up, and
you can look under the tracks in many places.
Yeah, and it's in danger of someone saying this is technically inactive, and we want our property back. So rail banking can prevent that, and so it's a great way to do that.
And now I was thinking, just with your report, and thinking about what has been the community effort up here on the North Coast, and there has been a lot. And in fact, there's been a really active Friends of group with Friends of the Annie and Mary Rail Trail that I think Steve, you've interacted with before.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been around for over a decade and have done numerous fundraising and helped fund a feasibility study for the Annie and Mary line between Blue Lake and Arcata, and have still been, you know, garnering community support to really look into rail banking, and that's what HCOG is currently doing, and hopefully in the fall we'll have some more things to report about the progress of research on rail banking for that line.
Right.
And then for the Bay Trail itself, I mean, there has been, over the years, so much community involvement, a lot in terms of, you know, trying to work on the political end to show community support that, you know, there's really a desire for a trail and just a use of the rail corridor here. There, we've also had a lot of fundraising for the Arcata Ridge Trail, and that has, you know, that has really brought about, you know, funding the completion of more of a recreational trail in Arcata, spanning the ridge through the community forest. So there's been a lot of, you know, community involvement up here. And the thing that's really inspiring to me about these case studies that are in the Community Built report is it really shows how volunteer groups have been a part of every step of the process, you know, not just the fundraising or not just the maintenance. Because up here we have our volunteer trail stewards that the Humboldt Trails Council runs, and they've really helped out with Friends of the Dunes and the County of Humboldt up on the Hammond Trail for reducing maintenance costs, and really keeping more eyes and ears, you know, on the ground. But I love how these case studies also bring about that, you know, Friends of groups and volunteer groups were involved in not only fundraising and maintenance, but really even more of safety patrol and active management and construction of the trails, and it definitely gives the whole picture.
Yeah, and we wanted to give that range of models so that groups could, other groups that are forming could kind of pick, oh, this might work for us. And honestly, it works best if you have a partnership with a public agency that that can actually have the title of the corridor and then have the volunteer group helping with whatever else they can and the public agency is willing to allow them to do. And because there is one example in Idaho that's in the report, it's the Weezer River Trail, and it's really incredible that there's it's a nonprofit that owns this 86-mile-long corridor, and it's actually constructed the trail, it's restored trestles, again with recreational trails program money primarily. But they've got a great membership. They have a fairly small budget every year, but they can manage this big corridor, and it's a great asset for those small rural communities there.
I was amazed with that trail that there's 60 trestle bridges.
Yeah,
like I couldn't even imagine having that, like, you know, liability as a volunteer group, and that was amazing.
Yeah, but one of the hardships they have is that since there's not a public entity owning it, they don't necessarily have enforcement capabilities.
Uh-huh.
So if someone's misbehaving on the trail, they don't necessarily have any county ordinances they can fall back to and have the sheriffs work with them on that. So
yeah.
So there's definitely advantages. There's also insurance issues and things like that. So.
It was interesting in that study as well that you point out that there's significant support and even financial support from a lot of the cities that the trail goes through, but that the counties, the county government wasn't necessarily, like, hadn't supported the trail, or I forget where I was reading this. And I was wondering about if that has a lot to do with more of the economic benefits and where there's if there's more services in the cities, and therefore that's where a lot of that economic benefit is lying versus in more of the unincorporated county that perhaps isn't seeing that direct economic influx from trail users.
Yeah, and I think it's just a political difference as well.
Uh-huh.
But I think people in the towns are able to use the trail more, and maybe some of the voters in the more rural areas see just people kind of passing through their ranch lands and things like that that they have concerns about. But at the same time, the trail group's been great about putting up fences where needed and trying to work with the landowners as best they can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that just got me thinking about, you know, here with the Hammond Trail and other trails and parks that really attract users are managed by the county. But a lot of the places that people would stay, you know, accommodations are in the cities, and therefore more of that transient occupancy tax that is generated by people staying in hotels in the cities of Arcata or Eureka, for example, that, you know, that, you know, the profit made from those taxes are going to the cities, and therefore, you know, the county is providing a lot of the services of maintaining the Hammond Trail and other trails, but they're not necessarily seeing the benefit of, you know, people staying over and therefore using the trail and trying to think about ways to more balance that, those taxes so that the county can perhaps receive some for, you know, maintenance cost of these assets.
Yeah, that would be a great idea. I mean, it varies in many of the different jurisdictions that we took a look at, and like those ones in Ohio that we wrote up, those are primarily county supported mm-hmm. through county metro parks departments.
Cool.
That they help to do the like weekly maintenance, and then the volunteers, they come out as well to help do some of the brushing back of the trail, and then the county comes through with their mowers. But much of the trail there has been constructed by volunteers as well through grants that the counties helped them get. So when you've got that partnership, it really makes it more powerful and more attractive for funders.
Yeah, I enjoyed the Ohio to Erie Trail write up because that's right outside my old stomping grounds of where I grew up. So it's fun to go back and visit family and ride on that trail.
Oh yeah, it's great to. There's this growing network of trails, and I think pretty soon we're going to have it connect all the way across the country. And you know, up there in Ohio, they're pushing for a connection from, hopefully pretty soon we'll have from Chicago all the way to D.C. that will be all connected by trails.
Wow. Well,
apparently they've got it to Pittsburgh.
We're just hoping for a countywide connection, but maybe get our cities connected. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
But the report is called Community Built. Where do people, if they want to view this, access, download it, where do they find it?
One easy way is just to Google Community Built RTC, and it should come up real quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, we just did a blog post, so if you look on the Rails Trails blog, it's on there, and it's in our library on our website as well.
Cool. Pretty extensive. I'll have to take a more close look at it. I downloaded it, and it was like, wow, this is more than I can read in 5 minutes. I better, I guess we'll talk about it.
Yeah, you know, it grew... We were envisioning maybe something 10 pages long. I think it grew to 40 or so.
Yeah, it's big.
Yeah.
I was I'll just print this thing out. I went, no, I'm not.
Yeah. There's also a flip book on there, so you can look at it online.
Fantastic. Strong suggest people check it out, and I certainly will as well. We are unfortunately running out of time. Emily, is there any other stuff we need to touch on?
No, next week we're going to be talking about the construction of the Ixari Elk River Parkway Trail in South Eureka and
Excellent.
Its progress. So that'll be really fun.
Excellent. Well, it's always good to talk about stuff that is making progress.
Yes.
Absolutely. Steve, thank you for taking the time to chat with us today. Fascinating stuff. You bet. All righty. And this conversation and all conversations we have on Happy Trails, you'll find as a podcast shortly. It's called Happy Trails. You can find that at iTunes and at khum.com.
Happy Trails to you.